Lecture 30, Democracy Fails, Oligarchy in Athens.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The defeat in Sicily had enormous repercussions for Athens, and we're going to cover these in this lecture. First, I'm going to look at the results of Athens's great defeat and how it led to the imposition of oligarchy in 411. Then I'm going to examine Aristophanes's biting comedy Lysistrata, with its plot of the women of Greece going on a sex strike to force the men to end the war. And third and finally, I'm going to discuss the oligarchy of 411 in some detail, its fall and its immediate aftermath. So let's begin with the aftermath of the Sicilian expedition. Thucydides blames Nicias's inactivity, his apathy, and his general bungling for the catastrophe in Sicily. And for once, it's hard to disagree with Thucydides. But we cannot deny credit to Syracuse for destroying so powerful an invader. This wasn't a small contingent of Athenian vessels either. It was almost everything the Athenians could have thrown at the Syracusans. So the Syracusans' defeat of the Athenian fleet was on a par with the Athenians defeating the Persians at Marathon. And think of the flip side of this. How would the Greeks have felt now that the Athenian navy, which had enjoyed this long run of success, had lost? Nevertheless, the Athenians had contributed greatly to their failure. Yes, we can pat the Syracusans on the back, but look at Athens' role in its failure as well. For example, it wasn't the wisest of moves to give command of the first fleet to three men who had such different ideas that they couldn't ever agree on one thing. And two of them, Alcibiades and Nicias, openly hated each other. Nicias also had been against the expedition from the outset, so how much effort was he going to put into it? And he's also into omens and portents. Just imagine if he'd given orders for the fleet to sail rather than be swayed by that lunar eclipse. The Athenians would have made it back home. Nicias is the type who would start to brake half a mile before the green traffic light just in case it changes to yellow in the next 5 minutes. You can entrust a person like that with such a huge undertaking. And it certainly wasn't wise, as events proved, to force Alcibiades off the scene. You know, I tend to think that Alcibiades could have pulled off victory in Sicily. I mean, yes, he's looking out for himself, and he did steer Athens towards involvement in Sicily for his own agenda, for military glory. But there's something about him that makes me think that left to his own devices, he could have done it, he could have pulled it off. Certainly the fleet that the Athenians took with them was more than enough to conquer Sicily. So Alcibiades had ample manpower. And his plan of coaxing Sicilian cities to the Athenian cause was a good one. In fact, so too was Lamachus's idea of hitting the Syracusans before they knew what was happening. But then we have the cautious Nicias. There are the Athenians themselves, or rather the Athenians in the assembly, to blame. Could they really have made the sorts of informed decisions that were necessary to mount and run what turned out to be a long mission, nearly 3 years in effect? Evidently not. Nicias's caution in his speeches of 416 was justified. But the people were too blown away at that time by the rhetoric of Alcibiades to think about what Nicias was really saying. And then when things were going horribly wrong, the assembly voted to send a second fleet out to Sicily, this one under the command of Demosthenes. And let's not forget that the assembly originally found that there was no evidence against Alcibiades for his alleged role in the mutilation of the Hermes and the profanation of the mysteries. But then later, it recalled him to stand trial for these, evidently swayed by the rhetoric of his enemies.